Welcome to this episode of the Connecting Faith to Life podcast. I'm Trey Rhodes, the Connections Pastor at Northwood Baptist Church here in North Charleston, South Carolina. In just a few moments, our lead pastor, Dr. Tommy Metter, will be joining the conversation as well. In our crazy and chaotic world, our hope is that these few minutes will help you stop and reflect on your relationship with Jesus as you learn to connect Christ-centered faith to your everyday life. And we appreciate you listening on whatever media platform you are listening on, and make sure that you favorite us and leave us a good report and put stars on there. And also you can, you know, take that link and put it on to your social media, Pastor, you know, like X. I think we're getting over the, although one time I saw the parentheses X, formerly known as Twitter. So we can now, I think, say X.
Yeah, it's but like Prince.
Okay, but
Prince,
the
symbol formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, but then I found out that when you're on X, you can actually tweet on X. You don't have to X on X because everybody still calls it a tweet no matter what.
That's all beyond me, man.
Anyway, I just hear this stuff. I said, "Oh, you can call it a tweet." All right.
Yeah,
anyway,
I don't know. I'm not really on the Twitter a whole lot. So.
I am because my kids are. They post pretty good things, so yeah, I'd like to hear what they're saying. Anyway, so yeah, proverbs.
We were talking about X
or Facebook or whatever social, Instagram or the gram or whatever.
Truth Social, that's the Donald Trump
Truth
one.
Social, yeah, Truth Social.
Are you on the Truth Social?
I am not.
Yeah,
I am
me neither.
But anyway, whatever it is.
Does Joe Biden have one?
Truth Social?
I don't know.
Certainly Trump would have to, right? I mean, at least the team has
I don't know.
They have to know what he's saying now.
I don't know.
Anyway, so whatever. But anyway, whatever, and however you get the word out, please do it, and we look forward to having you. And we are on episode 247, by the way. If you're counting and catching up, you are caught up on 247, and we look forward to God continuing to use us. So, well, Pastor, this has been as we have talked last week, this has been a rough few months, really. A lot of sickness, a lot of death, other things. And there's been times that I've just had to sit back and say, you know, gosh, I just wish I knew what to do in this situation. And you just kind of feel like you need some wisdom.
Yes.
And so my go-to thing is that I go to the books of the Bible, and the one in particular, there's two of them, James and Proverbs. Those are kind of the ones that I'll go to when I'm really struggling with knowing what to do.
Yeah.
And interestingly, now we've already done James, but now we're going to be in an Old Testament book, right?
Yeah. So we walked through James. It's been quite a while ago. It's probably been, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I don't know. That we walk through James together as a church family, and we're getting ready to walk through the book of Proverbs together. So
wow.
I'm really excited about
it's gonna be neat.
Our journey through the book of Proverbs. Very helpful book, very practical book, very pointed book. It's really going to show us some things about ourselves that we need to see. So I'm looking forward to it. But we finished our 15-month journey through the gospel.
Yeah,
it took us a very long time, but I think
we knew that when we started.
Well, kind of. I knew it was going to be a long series. I didn't have it all mapped out, so I didn't realize it was going to take 15 months, but hey, we're done. We made it. And so now we just finished up Easter Sunday. We looked at the book of Acts on Easter Sunday, and now we're diving into something new. So it was a good Easter. You have a good Easter, Pops?
I did. I rested a lot, which was good. Yeah. I was supposed to go out and eat, and we just couldn't.
Yeah, it was really nice to have a Sunday afternoon and evening where there weren't more responsibilities
to
rush back to.
Y'all went fishing or something,
right? We did go fishing, yeah. It was our first surf fishing trip of the year.
So how'd that go? Catch anything?
Nope, not a thing.
Surf fishing's tough, man.
It is just so random. Like, sometimes we'll go and we're just catching left and right, and then there's other times we go and it's like we're just standing there for hours and nothing.
But
and
you can catch some big ones.
You can. We've caught some big ones. Yeah. We've caught some good-sized reds and some others over the years. And I thought for a moment, you know, we had some dolphins come through.
They were
coming pretty close to the shore. So I thought, yeah, they were schooling the fish for us and sent them our way. But nope. I don't know. It's fun. We enjoy being on the beach in general. So just being on the beach is nice.
Yeah.
And it was cold and windy. It was not as pleasant as I thought it would be. But and my oldest son, Luke,
sometimes.
He doesn't care. Like, he gets so focused on fishing. And when he's got a rod in his hand, like, he's in the zone. And it could be, you know, 30 below, and he's going to stand there all day long.
He
just
amazing.
Doesn't care. And he's out in the water casting. Like, man, it's too cold. I am not doing all this. But, yeah, it was fun. It was good. Nice Easter. My good. Wife is in New Orleans, yeah. So I've got the boys this week, and actually my parents came in yesterday to help a little bit because I've got a crazy schedule this week. But, it was nice Easter. We had a bunch of people here
at Northwood. Yeah, a bunch of people. Yeah,
there were 10 million people here.
Yeah, we went through 10 million gallons of coffee, too.
I don't know, man. I don't know that That's many. How, but
it was a lot,
I know that. I think that was probably by far the largest Easter crowd we've had.
It had to be.
I don't know how many
we had. The lobby, we couldn't even move.
Yeah. That was the thing. I don't know how many people we had here, 1,100, 1,200, or whatever.
It was crazy, yes.
But I know the lobby
was. In a good way.
It was really good. The lobby was extremely crowded. Yeah, man, I walked out after the first service,
and we've allowed space.
Thought, man,
we
I'm
pushed
not
everything
be able to get back
in. And,
So. It was tough, and it was good. And then at our sister churches, Gethsemane Baptist had a good
that
day.
Was the biggest,
had
wow.
111 people. That was
wow.
So just to think, that's amazing to think when we started working with them a couple years ago, they were maybe 20 folk, and now just in a couple years, they've gone from 20 to having a high on Easter Sunday, 111 people.
That's incredible.
And some of those are prospects that they'll work with and try to invite back to church, and others were just guests, I'm sure, visiting family. And then our new church that we've began to replant, Wando Woods, they had 71 people in attendance.
I was floored.
Yeah, that's
floored.
Great.
That's awesome.
So they were really excited. I talked to some of their people this week, and they were just really pumped about what God's doing there. So it's good to see. So I don't know. Between our three churches, there were, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 people that heard the gospel very clearly Sunday morning, and it's really amazing. This Sunday is a big day for Gethsemane because they officially changed their constitution and bylaws and officially come into the family of churches. They're changing their name this Sunday to Northwood Baptist Berkeley. So that shared name, just that shared identity, it's really and Wando Woods will do that very soon as well. So it's really cool. God's at work in great ways, and it's exciting to.
It's just great to be along for the ride.
And
just to watch
we
God
are
do
along
work.
For the ride, and it feels like we're just buckled up and holding on as tight as we can.
I know I just like to say this. We use numbers here because that's the only way you can know what's going on.
Yeah.
But also, every one of those numbers counts as people. I mean, that's an individual that is under the sound of the gospel.
That's right.
That might not have been. And I just heard some grumbling Sunday, well, we got too many people. Da, 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 da. I said, yeah, but they're all hearing the gospel.
That's right. That's
they're all
right.
hearing the gospel.
That's right.
And, well, I hope so. Well.
Well, they're here. They're going to.
You know,
there's no
I don't
hope
know.
So. Yeah, there's no hope so about it. If they're in this church, they're going to hear the gospel, period. There's no hope so. They will.
They mean they're not listening is what they meant.
Oh, well.
But you don't know that.
I mean, I yelled loud enough Sunday. They should have heard it.
I thought it was good, man. I thought if they didn't hear it, they can't hear it. But anyway, it's exciting because we have more and more people that are hearing the good news of Christ.
That's really good. So
let's get back to what we're talking about with Proverbs because that's an exciting opportunity we have. And that begins this Sunday,
This Sunday we're starting with Proverbs. We just want to talk this morning. I like to do this before we start a new series, just the why
great.
We're doing it. So why we're studying the book of Proverbs. So let's talk about five reasons why we're studying the book of Proverbs on this episode today.
First reason, we need to study the Old Testament.
Yeah, so I don't know. Okay, so I know some who listen to our podcast aren't members of our church and maybe don't listen to me preach on a regular basis, but most who listen are part of our church family, so you hear me preach on a regular basis. And I don't know if over the years, if you've caught on to this or not, but I go back and forth, right? We'll look at a New Testament book, and then we'll jump to an Old Testament book, and then we'll jump back to the New Testament. So I alternate the series. So after we do Proverbs, we'll jump right back over to the New Testament. I'm probably going to do 1 Corinthians is what I'm thinking. And then after we do that, we'll jump back to the Old Testament. So I go back and forth because I want to, on Sunday mornings, to the best of my ability, make sure that those who come and attend have good exposure to the entire Word of God.
I think that's
some
great.
Preachers over the years, I mean, just kind of, it's just what it is. It's not bad or wrong. It's just what it is. Some preachers maybe stick just only to the New Testament. I think like John MacArthur over the years,
he's a New Testament preacher.
Has been done out of the New Testament, hasn't done a whole lot of Old Testament.
He uses Old Testament kind of reference, but that's
right.
It.
And then others do it different ways. I've just found it wise for me to go back and forth, old and new, because I am convinced that many people do not have a good understanding of the Old Testament and how the Old Testament fits into the entire story of the Bible. And so when you read the Old Testament, we've talked about this a million times, it is telling the singular story of redemption, pointing to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And even a book like Proverbs is in the storyline of Scripture. I'll show you as we walk through the book. You've got a king. His name is Solomon, and he is writing to his sons. Now, we'll get into this in a few moments, but the whole idea in Proverbs is the nation of Israel needs a wise king.
Amen.
Because as goes the king, so goes the nation. Sure. So the nation of Israel needs a wise king, and that is the problem. The nation of Israel can't find a wise king, right? Even Solomon, who the Bible describes as in the Old Testament as the wisest man to live, he's not as wise as he appears to be, because toward the end of his life, he's going to mess up royally, pun intended.
Yeah.
You see that way? He's going to mess up royally. King, you didn't follow, Pops. The pun. He's going to mess up royally. He's the king.
I get it. I'm sorry.
You didn't think it was funny? I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was great.
You didn't even laugh.
I have a question, actually. Seriously, how does Proverbs fit into when Solomon went south? I mean, did he write this at the end of his life, beginning of his life? Do we know?
That's a good question. So, the book of Proverbs is a collection of wisdom sayings. Uh-huh. Okay, so, and many of them are wisdom sayings from Solomon. Mm-hmm. So there are proverbs in the book of Proverbs that don't come from Solomon. It's a compilation.
Right, right. It says King Lemuel, for instance.
So when we get to the end of the book, Proverbs 31, you have King Lemuel. You have Proverbs 30, Agur, who's a Gentile. Both the end of the book are proverbs about two different Gentile authors. Not authors would be the wrong word, but wisdom guys, I guess, for lack of better terms in the moment. And you have some other proverbs. So it's not all Proverbs by Solomon, but a lot of them are Proverbs of Solomon. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, you have about 800 Proverbs that come from Solomon.
Amazing.
So think about it this way. Proverbs 1 through 9 is an extended collection of poems by Solomon, all directed towards his sons.
Right.
And then you get to chapter 10 to about chapter 30. Those are individual proverbs, those short, pithy sayings that, like, train up a child in the way that he would go, and when he gets old, he will not depart, or, you know, whatever the case may be, those one-line sayings. And then you get to the end, Proverbs 31, and you have that virtuous woman where King Lemuel's mother describes what to look for in the virtuous woman, which we'll talk about that when we get there months from now. Not months from now. I think it's going to take us 4 months, just in case you're wondering. We're not going to spend 15 months in Proverbs. That's months. Four months in Proverbs is what we're aiming for. So at any rate, you have this collection of wisdom sayings from Solomon. Now, you asked a question. At what point in his life does he compose those Proverbs? Well, we don't know for certain because what likely happened is sometime later, these Proverbs that were known of Solomon, they were all compiled together and formed the book of Proverbs. But it's likely that when Solomon composes these Proverbs, that he's doing so in his prime, before he's messed up and sinned, and his heart's turned away to these foreign women and their gods. And so as you read the first 9 chapters, it's pretty apparent. He's talking to his sons. Mm-hmm. He knows that one of his sons is going to be the next king, and he wants that son to be a wise king. So listen to the wisdom of your father. Listen to the wisdom of your mother. I want you to be a wise king. But that's what we're going to find out in the book of Proverbs. There's not a wise king.
Yeah.
There's no one who's really wise apart from God himself.
Yes.
And so how the book of Proverbs then fits into the story of redemption is, as you read through Proverbs, there's a longing for someone who's really wise.
Oh, okay.
Right? God calls us to be wise.
I like that.
But what we find out is we can't be wise apart from who? Apart from Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right.
Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. So we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, so we need to study the Old Testament, and we need to study a book like Proverbs, because Proverbs shows us, you know, this path to wisdom, the wisdom of God, which is ultimately Jesus Christ. And so we see in the book of Proverbs how this book fits into the entire storyline of the Bible. So again, we study the Old Testament because when we study the Old Testament, it points us to Jesus, and we see this continuity throughout Scripture. It's just a really amazing book. And so, yeah, we need to study the Old Testament, and we need to study a book like Proverbs.
Amen. Second reason is this. We need godly wisdom.
We need godly wisdom. And so while Book of Proverbs, it points us to our need for the wisdom of God. Mm-hmm. There is certainly a focus then in the book of Proverbs on the wisdom of God. What does it look like to walk in the wisdom of God? And so this Sunday, as we begin our journey together, I'll define wisdom for us from the book of Proverbs. But simply put, what the wisdom of God is knowing and doing the will of God, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Walking in the wisdom of God is knowing what God wants from me and doing it. Mm-hmm. Knowing and doing the will of God. And so that's a little bit different than the wisdom of this world. And so when you read the scripture, not only Proverbs, but when you get to the book of James, and some have called James the Proverbs of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. It's very practical, very down to earth. But when you think about the book of James, there is this contrast between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. In the book of Proverbs, there's a contrast between wisdom and folly. Right, we'll talk a lot about that as we walk through Proverbs together. But earthly wisdom is going to tell you lots of different things, right? Earthly wisdom is going to tell you things like what? Well, live for the moment.
Right.
Whatever feels right in the moment, you do that.
Exactly.
Get all you can in the moment.
Follow your heart.
Yeah, yeah. And godly, that's right. And godly wisdom is going to tell you something far different. Yeah. Godly wisdom is going to tell you, live for the end.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That God has a goal for your life, and that goal is your sanctification and ultimately glorification. Live for the end.
Yes.
And so make decisions now based on the end goal rather than what you want in the moment. Base your decisions on the end goal, knowing that as you live for the end, it might cause in the present some discomfort.
Mm.
It might cause some suffering, but you suffer now because you're eyes are on the end goal. And so earthly
Amen.
Wisdom says live for the moment. Godly wisdom says no, not live for the moment. Live for the goal. Live for what, because living with the end in mind is going to shape how you live in the moment for the glory of God. And so you think about that. Godly wisdom is I'm going to live my life with the end in mind, ultimately knowing that I'm living my life for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That the goal of wisdom is to live for the glory of God. I want to honor him with my choices because of what Christ has done for me. Earthly wisdom is I'm going to make choices mm-hmm. to alleviate the negative consequences of my life. So I'm going to make it right. Like, so for example, earthly wisdom would say something like this. I'm going to do what I have to do right now to save up enough money to make my life a little bit easier. Well, and there's nothing wrong with saving money,
right? Sure.
Right? There's nothing wrong with, but the motivation behind that is I'm going to do what I have to do now to save enough money so I can be financially secure, right? I want to alleviate the negative consequence of not saving money where it might cause me later on to be what? To be bankrupt or not have enough, right? So earthly wisdom is trying to alleviate a negative consequence where godly wisdom is just trying to aim for one goal, the glory of God.
That's right.
I want to live for the glory of God. And so then I might save money, right? But it's not to alleviate necessarily just not having enough. I'm going to save money so that I can be a blessing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I want to be wise, obviously, and save money so that I'm not in poverty or whatever the case may be. But bigger than that, bigger picture, I want to save money for the glory of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to save money so that God might allow me to use the resources that he's given me to be a blessing to others for the sake of the gospel. So saving money, right, this is just an example, is not a bad thing, mm-hmm. obviously, but for that person who's living out godly wisdom, the motivation is likely going to be different than the person who's saving money just for, you know, an earthly goal. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And so the end goal gives us the opportunity to live that out. So
yeah.
If we have that end goal of godly wisdom and saying, I'm going to use this for God and his work and for the nations and all those things, we have a whole different reason and we have a whole different attitude.
Yeah, that's
actually.
Right. That's
it changes
right.
our attitude,
that's right.
too.
So that's,
open-handed
yeah,
living.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the thing, right? Like godly wisdom has got a very specific goal in mind
yeah.
that we're aiming towards. I want to live for the glory of God. So every decision I make mm-hmm. is going to be centered around that end goal.
Right.
I want to bring God glory in the decisions I'm making. So earthly wisdom, godly wisdom, we might be... Again, sometimes in earthly wisdom and godly wisdom, we might be aiming for the same thing, mm-hmm. saving money, right?
Right.
For example. But the end goal is completely different.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we need that godly wisdom, and that's what the book of Proverbs helps us with. It helps us to understand how to live in that godly wisdom.
So that is a great reason to study.
Yeah.
Third is this. We need to understand how wisdom literature works.
Yeah, so this is the thing. If you look at your Old Testament, Proverbs is not the only book that is what we classify as wisdom literature.
Mm-hmm.
You have Psalms can be classified as wisdom
right.
literature in a sense. You have Ecclesiastes for
oh, yeah.
sure
yeah.
can be classified as wisdom literature.
Mm-hmm.
Song of Solomon can
right.
be classified as wisdom literature. And the book of Job
right.
can be classified as wisdom literature. And so we'll talk a lot about this as we move forward. But all of those books are wisdom literature, but they're all very different,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there is a temptation to take the book of Proverbs and approach it as a book of promises.
Yeah.
If I do this, then this will happen.
I've actually heard that.
Yeah. So if I, you know...
Oh, raise your child up
right,
godly.
That, and that's the perfect example, right? Like, you think about that proverb, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets older, he will not depart. Well, that certainly is not a promise.
Yeah.
Because many of us have raised our children in a way that honors the Lord to the best of our ability, and we've seen our children, some of us have seen our children walk away from the faith.
Mm, it hurts.
So that's not a promise, right? And so there's the temptation when I live out God's principles and don't see them turn out the way I thought they would, to think, what did I do wrong, right? How did I mess up? And it's maybe not that you messed up, and it's maybe not that you did something wrong. It could be that you live by godly wisdom, but the immediate result of living by godly wisdom isn't what you thought it would be, right? Because that's not how wisdom literature works. Wisdom literature is not a series of promises. If you do this, then life will work out this way. Generally speaking, the Proverbs are true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're true because they're God's word. So let me be careful what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Generally speaking, when you live out godly wisdom, you are going to see, right, the fruit of that godly wisdom immediate.
Of course.
Generally speaking, if I train up my child in the way that he should go, he's going to walk by faith, generally speaking. That's not always the case, though, because the Proverbs are principles, not promises.
And you see that in families, just using that example, where you have, let's say, a family of four, and you have three that are on fire for Christ or doing the work of the Lord or whatever, and then you have this one that just didn't get it for whatever reason. And so these parents walk around with this guilt complex, like, what did I do wrong?
That's right.
Instead of look at what you did right. You know. Yeah. So that's just an example.
Another example is Proverbs 15:1. One of my favorite proverbs: a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Turns away anger. Generally speaking, that's true.
Yeah.
That when I'm in a conversation with someone and I'm able to control my emotion and able to control my language and how I speak to that person, and I don't get, you know, riled up too much and I start raising my voice, when I speak to someone like a normal person, that lots of times, most of the times even, diffuses the situation. But my friend, I've been in some situations where I was gentle as I could be
and still got my head bitten off.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So generally speaking, that's true. But there's sometimes when the proverb doesn't work out that way. So here's the deal. What we learn in the book of Proverbs is that these are principles for living, that generally speaking, when you live this way in God's wisdom, you're going to see an immediate result of that. Mm-hmm. But not always. Why is that? Here's the deal. What we learn in wisdom literature is life is complex.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Right? Because you're living out godly principles in a broken world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so,
here's the deal,
right? Like, living in godly wisdom is what God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean if you live by godly wisdom that your godly wisdom is going to change the heart of somebody else, right? And so that's what we're finding out. You're living out godly wisdom in a complex and broken world. And so sometimes, right, like, it doesn't work out like you think it's going to work out. Mm. But it does not mean that God's not at work. Right.
Exactly.
It does not mean that you are not being God honoring when you live out godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so this is how wisdom literature works. It is not law. Mm-hmm. Right. It is principles. It's not promises. It's principles. Mm-hmm. That if you and the case in point book to show us this is the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
Because you think about the book of Job, which is wisdom literature. And Job shows us, right, like, it's complex. Because this was the argument of Job's friends.
Mm.
What have you done wrong?
Yeah.
You've lived wisely, we thought, but maybe you didn't live wisely.
Maybe there's something there.
There's something, because, you know, your life is all messed up now, Job. Look at how your life has fallen apart. So maybe you didn't follow God well. And we know the story. We know that Job did follow God well, that Job lived wisely. And even though he lived wisely, things didn't work out for him. Why didn't they work out for him? Because God was at work doing something that Job could not see or Job could not know in those moments, right? And that's the thing, too. You live in a complex world where sometimes, even when you live out godly wisdom, things aren't going to work out the way you think they should work out, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that God's word is not true. God's word is absolutely true. And so when you go through those days and you're living out godly wisdom and you don't see the results that you think you should see, it's just that awareness that God is at work, right? And he's working all things together for his glory and your good. Keep living in wisdom. He knows, just like he knew in Job's story. He knew what he was doing in Job's story, and he knows what he's doing in your story as well. So this is how wisdom literature works. It is principles for godly living, and it helps us to know how God wants us to live, and it gives us general principles that say, hey, if you live this way, generally speaking, this is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. But you live in a complex world, and sometimes, because we live in a sinful world, things don't work out sometimes the way that we think they should.
Yeah, and the way I look at it, and this might be a little simplistic, but I say, you know, when we go to Jesus' commands, for instance, those are not the best way. That's the way.
That's the way. That's the way.
Whereas Proverbs has given us the best way.
Yes. Yes.
So it's that gives a little bit of a, you know, well, it's the best way. It doesn't mean it always works the way we think it should, or the word, you know, for instance, this man will have no enemies if he treats his enemies. They'll have peace and all those things it talks about with their enemies. Well, the Apostle Paul lost his head. You know how I feel like he's probably a very wise man and yet lost his head.
That's right.
All right. Number four. Fourth reason, we need to see that we're not very wise.
Yeah. So that's kind of the point too, right? Like, no one accomplishes Proverbs.
Exactly. Not even Solomon, by the way. That's exactly right.
Like, that's the conclusion we come away with from the end of the book. Mm-hmm. Like, geez, there's a lot here. And I don't do this well. Like, there's days I live wisely and other days I don't. And so what Proverbs shows us is that we're not very wise. And so I think, case in point, you get to chapter 10, and that's where you have all those pithy sayings, right? Like, train up a child in ways you go, or, you know, a gentle answer turns away wrath, or whatever the case may be, all those pithy sayings. There's lots about money. There's lots about righteousness. There's lots about family and marriage. There's lots about laziness and hard work. I mean, there's lots of different Proverbs that cover a lot of different issues, right? And then you also look at chapters 10 through about 29 or so before you get to the Agur and King Lemuel, and it seems like they're randomly placed. There doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason for how the Proverbs are arranged. You'll look at one that talks about, you know, laziness, and the next one talks about family, and the next one talks about money, and the next one talks about this, and that's like...
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, you can't, it's hard to put them
all together. Yeah, and so, you know, the question, you know, you have is, what was going on with whoever was compiling this thing, right? Like, why couldn't the dude just say, okay, I'm going to put all the money Proverbs here, all the Proverbs about how to use your language here, all the Proverbs, and just do them in sections. That'd been very helpful.
That's
not the way that it works, though. Yeah. They're all kind of randomly inserted. And I would argue that they're not random at all. I would argue that maybe why the Proverbs are arranged in the way they are is because that's how life works.
I agree.
Life is complex.
I agree. Exactly.
And life is random.
Exactly.
And one minute you need wisdom for your money, and the very next minute you need wisdom for parenting, and the very next minute you need wisdom for how to not be lazy at work. And so that's kind of the way life is. Life is not just a sequential, okay, here's my money problems, and here's my, you know...
It's not that way at all,
work
actually.
Problems. No, it's all coming at you at one time. Right?
Where did that come from?
That's exactly right. And so I think the Proverbs remind us of that, man, and if you read the Proverbs, I mean, you're going to read one Proverb and say, okay, yeah, okay, I think I lived that way yesterday. Mm. And you're going to read the next one and go like, oh, I'm bad at that one. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, and so, that's kind of the way Proverbs works, that at one moment, you read a proverb and you're thinking, okay, I'm making some ground here. I'm making some traction. And the next one, you're like, oh man, I don't live up to that one at all. And I think that's kind of the point, that the Proverbs are kind of, from our perspective, randomly arranged, because we live in a world that you're thrown random stuff all the time, and you need wisdom in every situation, every moment. And Proverbs helps you with that. And as Proverbs is helping you with that, it's also at the same time convicting you that you got a long way to go in your journey to grow in godly wisdom. And so I think it's actually a beautiful design, the way that the editor of Proverbs, I know there, again, many of them are by Solomon, but at some point later on, somebody puts them all together in this collection. I think it's beautifully arranged to show us, again, the complexity of life and how in every situation, there's all kinds of stuff coming our way, and we need wisdom every moment of the day. And we fail to have the kind of wisdom we really need.
That's right. That's right. And that leads us to the fifth reason, and that is this. We need to see that there is one who is truly wise.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, I think, is to point us to the reality that we are not as wise as we think we are. And if you think about the context, first nine chapters, Solomon writing to his sons, one who will become king. Israel needs a wise king. Israel never really had a wise king. Mm. Right? Even the ones that were good kings. You think right. about after Solomon's reign, the nation of Israel is going to divide into two kingdoms, Judah, the southern kingdom, Israel, the northern kingdom. In the northern kingdom, there will not be a good king at all. But in the southern kingdom, there's going to be some good kings along the way. There's going to be people like Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, Josiah, and others, right? But even if you read their stories, they still mess up.
Oh, yeah.
Josiah was flawed, right? Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, I mean, they're all flawed in some way, and Scripture points out their flaws.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, they did a good job in some ways of leading the people back to God during their reigns, but they still messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point. Like, as you read through the remainder of the Old Testament, there is not a wise king.
Mm.
And so what's going to happen is, you know, Judah is going to go into exile. The northern kingdom is going to be taken over by the Assyrians. There's not a wise king that can sustain the nation,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a need for a wise king. There's a need for a wise king to rule over us because we live in a world where there is not a wise leader, right? Mm-hmm. You're not a wise leader. You don't lead yourself very well. We all need a wise king, and that's the hope of Proverbs, is Proverbs is pointing us to that need and pointing us to our need for Jesus, who is the wise king, who Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as the very wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God for us. He is the one that leads us, and we can walk in the wisdom of God only as we submit to the leadership of the king. As we submit to his leadership and we have our focus on his glory, then we're able to start making some wise decisions with the way that we live our lives. And so Proverbs is pointing us to that need for a wise king.
Amen. So we're going to start the book of Proverbs. Everybody's excited, I'm sure.
I hope so.
But okay, you're the listener, and not the one that's going to be sharing this information with us and sharing this wisdom with us. So how do they start the process of saying, okay, how can I be wise? What do they need to do over these next four months or so as you preach?
Yeah, so as we're walking through the book of Proverbs, it's a couple of things. It's one, asking God to show us areas in our lives where we're not wise.
Okay.
Right? Because that's what Proverbs is going to do. It's going to point out to us all these different areas where we need to grow in wisdom, whether it's in our speech or our ability to manage money or in the way we treat our spouse or how we parent or whatever the case may be, how we deal with friendships. I mean, all these topics are in Proverbs, right? And so Proverbs are going to show us those areas where we're not wise.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as you're listening to this series, you've got to listen to the series with this attitude of, okay, there is one wise, and what Proverbs is calling me to do is to submit to the king. To the king.
Okay.
I will only be wise as I submit to the king. And so it's asking yourself the question on a daily basis, is my life submitted to the king or not? Because if my life is not submitted to the king, then I'm going to continue to be very unwise.
Okay. Okay, very good. Well, Pastor, thank you for that, and I appreciate you just kind of getting us ready for Proverbs as we jump right in with both feet and look forward to that. So as we do, get us ready for next week.
Yeah, I hope that today has been an encouragement to you, and it has been an encouragement. I hope you would hit that subscribe button so you have new content delivered to advice every single week. Leave us a 5-star review. That helps us get word out about our podcast. And as always, we hope today's episode has helped you connect faith to life.